Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Pastor Mark Little. He is an attorney. He's an author. He is a frequent contributor on Fox News, and he is the board chairman of a wonderful organization called CURE. The Center for Urban Renewal and Education is a nonprofit think tank based in Washington, D.C. Their mission is to fight poverty and restore dignity through messages of faith, freedom, and personal responsibility. Their founder, Star Parker, has also been a guest on this broadcast, and we're delighted to have the board chairman, Mark Little, with us this evening. Mark, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be with you, and thank you for that amazing introduction. I forgot that I do all those things.
Well, it's good. Sometimes we have to focus on one or two and let some of the others slip into the background for a while. But I really appreciate what you've done. Now, I see that you're not only a pastor, but you are an attorney. Tell me a little bit about that journey, how God brought you to pursue both of those.
That's a great question, and it's a great question because I live that duality, but others, when they realize that I'm both, it strikes them as being odd. but I live in both of those worlds, and I'll tell you, it came about primarily because of my journey and assignment with Faithful Central Bible Church under Bishop Kenneth Ulmer in Inglewood, California. I graduated from USC Law in 94 and had started attending the church around the same time. And so I began practicing, and then along that journey with Faithful Central, they recognized me and appointed me as an elder. I became the chairman of the elder board, and then the church began to buy the forum in Inglewood and needed some help. And because of my entree into entertainment and with those resources, I was able to be helpful. So I became the COO and general counsel at Faithful Central Bible Church, the second church in the country to actually acquire an arena. Of course, the forum is where the Lakers used to play.
Sure.
And so, because of my exposure and the leadership of Bishop Ulmer and being in the room with all these pastors all the time, I was led and called, really, after being at Willow Creek, the Holy Spirit called me to draw closer to him, and I interpreted that to go to school and to get educated. So I ended up enrolling at Fuller Seminary, where I got a master's there. And those two things just sort of melded together, and it just became who I am. By the grace of God, Larry Titus saw the call of God on my life, and he's also Bishop Ulmer's father in the ministry. And so Larry Titus ordained me, and one thing just led to the next. And I'm thankful that the Lord would allow me to use the skills of a lawyer that has been able to bring about mediation within the body of Christ.
Praise God.
And to also be able to use that sort of talent to stand up for religious liberty, first in California and now here in Washington, D.C. So it's interesting how the Lord will use you if you just follow him.
Amen. And God is even able to use attorneys, isn't he?
Let me tell you.
I have a son. I've got seven kids, six of them are sons, and one of those sons is both an attorney and a pastor. And when I was pastoring in Atlanta many years ago, there was a young attorney in our church who was just, you know, really on the fast track career-wise, and he came to me, and he was an excellent Bible teacher, and we were using him as a, you know, lay leader in the church. And he came to me and he said, I really feel God's calling me into the pastorate. And I said, oh, no, Steve. I said, we've got tons and tons of preachers, but to find a Christian attorney is really like looking for a needle in a haystack. But
I think you get it.
But God called him also to go into the pastorate, and he has been greatly used of the Lord in a couple of congregations to really bring great blessing to the body of Christ in that way. So it is important that we be obedient and not just get locked into one thing and say, no, this is what I went to school for, that's what I'm going to do. We need to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. And I said to Steve, you know, how much of an impact do you think your training as an attorney has had on your ministry? And he said, I think it's been some of the best training I got. Now, he went to seminary also, but he said, the training in seminary was wonderful at learning the original languages and having the opportunity just to continue to study. But he said, in law school, I was trained in how to think in a linear argument and then make that appeal to the jury and try and get them to decide for my client. And he said, when I preach, in a very real way, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm taking a linear argument, presenting evidence, and trying to help the people who are listening reach a decision for my client. I'm representing Jesus Christ. So I appreciate the fact that God calls folks into various ministries, and I appreciate those who serve him faithfully in the field of law. But I also appreciate the fact I'm increasingly aware, I think the older I get, that even though there are indeed lots and lots of preachers, finding a godly, spirit-filled, faithful, courageous minister of the gospel can be like looking for a good attorney.
So hard to find.
Yeah, I appreciate what you're doing. Now, tell us a little bit about CURE. Tell us, you've been working with that organization, become chairman of their board. Tell us a little bit about CURE, because I know the work that CURE does. I know the work that Star Parker has done, and but our listeners need to know that as well. So share a little bit about that, if you would.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, you read the mission, and the mission really says a lot, and I am just so honored to have been asked to come alongside Star Parker, who is just an amazing gift to the body of Christ.
Amen.
And the things that she promotes, whether it's a sanctity of human life, which is a very, very high on her agenda.
Absolutely.
Mine.
Yes, and mine as limited, well.
Yeah, indeed. Limited government and understanding that Uncle Sam is not our source, but the Father is our source.
Amen.
And when we make government our source, we see what happens with that, with dependency, and it's really, really a horrible, horrible thing. And then the effect of capitalism and how that particular economic system is best in alignment with what we believe in. And I think there's some biblical truths to that as well. If a man does not work, he does not eat.
I agree.
And whether you use your skills to eat or just to make an opportunity for yourself and your family. That's what capitalism is all about. Mm-hmm. And so that's what CURE is all about. I also am very glad to have a clergy network where we get to promote these things to pastors all around the country. And that is really exciting because we are a conduit not only to Washington, D.C. and the seat of government power, and I believe that faith and politics are not separate, and I think biblically we certainly have disagreement about that. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that the church is called to lead in this nation, and that the government has to stay out of church. I don't think it's the other way around.
Right.
But these are the things that CURE is doing. And so not only bringing the seat of government to the church, but bringing these things to the communities all across the nation. As an example, with the opportunity zones that have just come out of the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, mm-hmm. 2017, really being able to show people that you don't have to necessarily take a handout from government, but government can pave a way for policies that will allow you to create and to partner in ways that build your own community. And so CURE has been on the forefront of some of that. We've got several of our pastors who are modernizing their community, mm-hmm. because of the opportunity zone. So I'm happy to see the work that we're doing. CURE is leading the charge.
That's excellent. Now, a scripture that I know you have reminded some people of in recent weeks is from Paul's letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2. This is God's word, folks. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Now, what occasioned your needing to call that passage to the attention of some folks when you came in for some criticism for having done exactly what God's Word tells us we should do?
Thank you so much for that question, because for the body of Christ, you know, I've got a lot of friends, most of my friends, in fact, are pastors. And somehow that scripture stops at the border of President Trump.
Yeah.
And I have to say that whether it was Obama or whether it was Bush or whether it was Reagan or Clinton before Trump,
mm-hmm.
that scripture wasn't written in the past few decades.
Right.
that word has been in the canon and been in our lives as believers for quite a while, and so I tell you, as a believer and as a pastor, I don't have to like the policies, and that scripture doesn't say only apply this if you agree with the policy.
Right.
The scripture says it exhorts us to pray for the authorities over us. And so I had the opportunity to be invited by the president to participate in the Black History Month celebration on February 27th.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the occasion to sit around the table in the cabinet room where we discussed the president's agenda. We had the opportunity to introduce ourselves. And then the meeting came to an end. And as God would have it, Pastor Paula White asked the president if perhaps this group could pray for him. And the president, of course, received prayer from faith leaders all around the country. And so he said, certainly. And because I'm a pastor, I sprung into action. I got out of my chair, which was about 5 feet away from the president,
mm-hmm.
and I passed 4 people who didn't seem to be moving very quickly. And it just so happened that Pastor Paul and I reached the president at the same time. She was sitting exactly at the opposite end of the table. And we both arrived to his backside at the same time, and then several others began to gather around. And I have to be honest with you, I was not there in that position necessarily to lead a prayer, but I was simply going to stand in agreement with whoever did pray.
Mm-hmm.
And Pastor Paula turned to me and she said, go ahead. And I simply went to the throne and just opened my mouth, and the Lord gave me the words to pray. And I ended the prayer rather quickly, because I knew we were an hour delayed in going over to the White House, where people had been waiting for the Black History Month celebration. So
yes.
I didn't belabor the moment. And as I ended my prayer, I didn't say amen, because I thought others would pray, Pastor Paula included. And then she simply said amen. And then that moment for me became very clear that the Lord orders the steps of the righteous.
Yes.
And he ordered and ordained and predestined that moment that was then met with laughter and mockery by the likes of Jimmy Kimmel, mm-hmm. Saturday Night Live's house comedian Chris Redd,
mm-hmm.
Keith Boykin on the Don Lemon CNN show, mm-hmm. Spike Lee, and many others.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just interesting because a lot happened at that meeting, whether it was folks calling him the first black president. Of course, that was certainly not the first time that was used. Mm-hmm. They did that with Clinton. Nobody had a problem with that.
Right.
But there was a lot from that meeting that could have been said and used. But they chose, bar none, they chose to use the image of our coming around him and praying,
mm-hmm.
To mock us and to make fun of the moment. And that's what I took exception to. And so it called me to respond and to lift up the word of God, that we were doing what Scripture calls believers to do. And I simply was not going to stand and allow them to attack Christianity, which seems to be the thing of the day, and to mock people who are simply doing the word of God. And so the Lord called me, I believe, from that moment to stand and lift up the word, and I was happy to do that.
Amen. Well, I'm grateful that you were obedient to the Spirit's prompting and that what you did was entirely consistent with what God's Word directs us to do. And I think it is very interesting and instructive that your doing so is such an offense, an object of ridicule to certain people in our culture. I think that speaks a lot. And I remember someone else who was mocked and spit upon and had his beard plucked out, had a crown of thorns put on his head. He was horribly mocked because the human heart, apart from regeneration, is hostile toward God.
And, that's right.
And, you know, a lot of people get the mistaken notion that if we do what the Lord tells us to do, people are going to pat us on the back and say, good for you, I'm really proud of you. There will be some who may say that, but Jesus said, you can expect them to treat you the way they treated me. And in fact, that has been the experience of the body of Christ down through the centuries all over the world. And so what you were experiencing, I think that hostility, when they see a godly black attorney pastor who is doing what God says, something inside them that they don't even know is there rises up and says, we can't stand for that. Ephesians 2 tells us that all of us, before we knew Jesus, were animated by the forces of darkness. And people don't realize where they get some of their thoughts and where they get the volume of emotion that they get. But the fact of the matter is, Satan and his forces hate it when we do what God tells us to do. So your act of obedience to the Spirit's prompting and to the Word of God was, on the one hand, blessed of the Lord, and on the other hand, a lightning rod for opposition and criticism. And I just want to thank you, brother, for having been obedient to the Lord and not backing down and apologizing or backtracking the way that a lot of less courageous people have done when they have prayed for the president.
Amen. Well, I thank you for that, and thank you for alluding to what is in the heart of man, because the culture so reflects what you just said out of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
The culture so reflects the darkness that is permeating. Now, of course, it's not new. I mean, we were hung in Rome as lampposts.
Yes.
And so it's certainly not new, but in our day and age, the word talks about believers. I love when Jesus came from the Sermon on the Mount and he began to speak identity to those who were listening.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You are the light of the world." He said, "You are salt and light."
Yes.
And I got to tell you, brother, that it's not within the church. It's not within the four walls, although sometimes the church reflects the world in a way that we don't like to talk about.
Right.
Sometimes the church is just as bad.
Yeah.
But I have to say that light that he has called us to be must shine.
Yes.
And if we are not going to shine it in his physical absence, then who else will?
Amen.
And I have to tell you, that's why I wrote my book. People said, "Why are you writing a book? We already know that we win." I said, "Because we are called to shine."
Amen. Amen.
We are called to repel darkness.
Yes.
And I am not going to run from the assignment that he's called us to. He told us our identity.
Amen.
Is salt and light.
Amen.
And so I'm happy. I invite whatever it is that comes with being salt and light.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Years ago, when I was young, one of my heroes, Stuart Briscoe, who is still serving the Lord faithfully, but Stuart Briscoe preached a message that God used to really clarify that for me in a way that was unforgettable and that I've shared with others on numerous occasions since. And it's exactly what you said. When Jesus tells us that we are light, that we are salt, he's not saying, you know, the world needs light. The world needs salt. How many of you would be willing to volunteer and you know, fulfill that role? Instead, the question is not, will you be the light? The question is, are you going to shine? Or are you going to hide your light under a bushel? It's not, are you going to be salt? You are the salt of the earth. The question is, are you going to be salty salt, or are you going to be worthless and good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot?
That's right. He's not looking for a flashlight.
That's right. And he's not offering a position to those who feel called. I really feel like I'm called to be light. No, you are the light, and you're called. You're called to shine. Brother, I want to thank you for shining. I want to thank you for being salty salt. And I want you to know we appreciate very much the work that you're doing and the witness that you are for Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so very, very much. You know, I tell you, when you look at what's happening in this culture, and you look at the church, I mean, we were talking about the skills of a lawyer and how it could be used in the church.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the culture and you look at the church, which in so many ways, brother, is anemic.
Yes.
And I can go into that as one who's led senior leaders or advised them for many years. I'm praying, brother, that this season, with the pandemic and the things that are happening, that the church, you know, that's being shut down, literally,
mm-hmm.
shut down, and people given citations for being in line to worship in their cars.
Yes.
If this is going to wake up call, that the culture is coming after us.
Yes.
And they are no longer hiding it. And if this isn't a sign for these pastors to stop worrying about splitting their churches and stop worrying about their offering plates,
mm-hmm.
And stop worrying about you know, if they promote a policy that they're going to be labeled as a Republican or a Democrat, that they've got to stop worrying. They've got to start preaching the whole counsel of God, and they've got to start helping people take the blinders off to understand what you just said. They are light. They are salt. And this is what it looks like when salt and light are pushing back against a culture
mm-hmm.
that is in enmity with God.
Yes. Yes. Again, I thank you, brother, for your faithfulness, for your example, for your courage, and I pray God's blessings on you.
I appreciate you. I am praying for you and your witness and the airwaves and things that are happening in this season for you and for this program, and I pray God's blessing over you, your family, and your witness.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
God bless.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org.